geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome to this mini-sode of Tombs of Horror. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we get into this quick review, I just wanted to announce that next weekend will be the Animus takeover of this podcast, where my part-time co-host, Jerry Hartman, will be basically taking over the entire fucking episode and interviewing me, or myself, and AK Herrera. We're kind of afraid of what he's going to come up with to ask us and shit like that, but I can guarantee you it will be an entertaining episode. And also, excuse me, I have a new 5-song EP out on Spotify, Disingenuous. It's on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, iTunes, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. So if you haven't heard it yet, I'd appreciate it if you go out and check it out. So today for this mini-sode, I thought I'd talk about the just-released 2022 reboot of Stephen King's Firestarter. I'm not going to talk about what it's about too much if you've never seen the original 1984 movie starring very young Drew Barrymore, or if you've never read the Stephen King book of the same type of the same name. So I'm not going to talk too much about the story. I'll just give a little bit about it, and then I'll give my opinions on it. But anyway, like I said, this is 2022's reboot of Firestarter.
Daddy.
What's going on, sweetie?
Something feels weird. Something's changing.
You remember the tools we taught you, right?
Pencil, desk, paper.
Shucks,
you're weird. Everything okay, Charlie? It happened again.
What happened?
The bad thing.
If you ever start to lose control, what do you do?
It didn't work.
She's not a robot, Annie. She's a little girl. With little girl emotions, which are wildly unpredictable.
Charlie?
She just has to shove it down and keep it hidden.
Our responsibility is getting her ready.
Our responsibility is to protect her.
Charlie?
If they catch her, they're going to put her in a cage.
Charlie?
They're going to run tests on her for the rest of her life. I'll never see her again.
If who catches me?
Something's happened. I need it handled with discretion. I need her back alive.
Holy shit.
Do you know what it means to be on the run?
Batman are after us. Really bad.
I hate living like this!
You're special,
Charlie. I'm not special. I'm a monster! Charlie!
I want to help her.
You want to use her.
Charlie?
Don't be stupid.
Where's mommy?
Do you feel that? Let her go, or it's gonna get a lot worse.
Where's mommy? Tell me now!
She's the first of her kind. A real life superhero.
You need to understand how to use it. It can't be a reaction. It's gotta be a decision. It's the only way that you can control it.
She's becoming a young woman.
I'm not going to jail.
And someday soon, be capable of a nuclear explosion.
Run, Charlie! On your knees!
Simply with the force of her mind.
The real world brought me here.
Promise me that you never use your gifts to hurt people.
Oh, we're bad people, I promise.
Trust me, Charlie. You don't have to be afraid. Please, I can help you.
Liar, liar. Hands on fire. Hurt anyone, but it feels kind of good.
Andy and Vicky McGee are two young college students who volunteer for an experiment and are given the Lot 6 serum, which in turn ends up giving them special, I don't know if you want to call them powers or abilities, whatever. Andy is given the push, or what he calls the push, which makes him able to put suggestions in other people's heads and have them act upon them. And Vicky is basically given the power of telekinesis. Then later on, Vicky gets pregnant and they give birth to a young girl named Charlie. Charlie has the gift of pyrokinesis, which means she can start fires with her mind. And she also has telekinesis like her mom, Vicky, does. They spend their lives on the run from the shop, which is a shady government agency that wants to control Charlie so they can use her as a weapon and basically throw her parents away in jail and forget about them. So they basically live under the radar. You know, they don't use Wi-Fi, they don't use cell phones and all that kind of stuff, so the shop can't find them. But unfortunately, Charlie has an episode at school after being teased, and the shop is able to locate them, and they activate the shop's Native American assassin, Rainbird, who also was experimented on by the shop and has his own set of powers, and they send Rainbird after the McGees. One night while Vicky is left home alone, she finds Rainbird sitting in their living room and a fight ensues and Rainbird kills Vicky. Andy and Charlie come back and a fight ensues between the three of them, which Charlie basically uses her pyrokinesis and starts a fire in the house and makes it able for them to escape. And the rest of the movie is them trying to avoid Rainbird and being taken back to the shop. And that's as far as I'm going to get into what the movie's about. Again, if you haven't read the book or seen the original 1984 movie. This was produced by Blumhouse, who I am not a fan of. When they first started out, Blumhouse had some good movies, like, you know, The Purge and stuff like that. But recently, they have released some pretty bad fucking movies, in my opinion. I know a lot of people like movies from Blumhouse, but I'm not one of their fans. And this movie suffers from being a Blumhouse movie. It's not bad. And it's only an hour and 34 minutes, and it kind of moves along at a quick pace, but not a lot happens in that hour and 34 minutes. Now, I'll admit, I only vaguely remember reading the book. I read it years ago, and I hardly remember the original movie, but I think there was a lot more going on in the book and the 1984 movie than there is in this one. There's just long periods of time in this version where nothing really happens. And it's like, okay, let's move on, get on with the fucking movie. And it just never really pops off, I guess, is the best way to put it. I mean, it's not a terrible movie. But like I said, it's just really kind of dull with not a lot going on. I'm also not impressed with them placing Zac Efron in the Andy McGee role, because every time I see him in a fucking movie, I just expect him to burst out singing like in fucking High School Musical or The Greatest Showman. I don't know, it's just me. He's not a terrible actor. He's just not right for this role. Just because I think everybody kind of, it's not the word I'm looking for, but stereotypes him in his earlier roles. And I know he's kind of tried to step away from his past roles in the last couple of years, but it's, like I said, it's hard for me not to see him in those roles, in these, in especially a horror movie. It just doesn't work for me. The rest of the cast does a pretty good job. But like I said, this probably isn't the best adaptation. I'd probably stick to the original, once again, the original 1984 version that starred a very young Drew Barrymore. So I give this... I'll give this a 2.5 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up for this quick review. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.